God's grace to you and his peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series through the Apostles' Creed, and tonight we get to the point in that creed where we say of Christ, he descended into hell. I will admit, hell is a typical word that we usually don't hear too often in church, and sometimes when we hear that word, one of the first things we have to figure out is, did I get through breaking a commandment about swearing? Well, actually, there is a very liturgical and theological reason for talking about hell. And no, I'm not swearing when I'm using that phrase. However, if some event just occurred in which I felt that it was important to have an expletive to it, and I used the word hell, at that point I would probably be breaking a certain commandment about swearing. But tonight we're focusing on the theological aspect of hell and Christ's descent into it, which first of all we have to ask, what is the definition of hell? Well, typically we can come up with two quick definitions. One is the theological aspect of eternal damnation, something that's eternal, and that's something that the unrighteous would go to, not the righteous. And then there's a more common, more people-orientated way of describing hell, which one way of describing it would be when current life goes astray, we might talk about our lives as a living hell, so to speak, where we sort of feel like our physical lives are sort of suffering the pains of that damnation here and now. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but actually there is some biblical precedent for that. In our text for today, however, the Creed has a reference to Christ's descent into hell, and this is being picked up in 1 Peter, our second reading, chapter 3, verses, you could say, 18 to 20. Let me just read this again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when Christ's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Now here in this section of 1 Peter, you have the only reference, really, of Christ being put to death, being made alive in the Spirit, and then he went to proclaim or preach to the spirits in prison. It is upon this Bible passage that our phrase, he descended into hell, is sort of based. But we have to ask a question here. Was the spirits in prison really hell? Well, let me explain it this way. Since this occurred before the judgment of the world, the final judgment in which Christ will separate the sheep from the goats, and people will go to heaven and then to hell, that maybe this wasn't exactly quote-unquote hell. A better way of describing this would be to use the actual Hebrew or the Greek words to describe this location. That would be that of the Hebrew word of Sheol, or the Greek word of Hades, which is different than the Greek word for hell. Okay? So let me use another scriptural reference to sort of describe this point of what I'm trying to get to a little bit better. From Luke chapter 16. This is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Some of you may know it. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner received bad things. Now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross over there to us." Notice what's taking place here. Lazarus went to Abraham's side. The rich man went to Hades. In one essence, they're described as the same place, but just that a chasm, some valley, was separating the two, which was impassable. So what people from one side couldn't cross over to the next, and vice versa. This was the place in which the Greek describes it that Christ descended to. But it's a little different than hell. But yet, for those who were unrighteous, needless to say, there is torment, there is flame. But for those who were righteous, there is that comfort. So needless to say, in one essence, the creed is somewhat correct by describing it as hell, at least to those who do not believe in Christ. And likewise, we are also correct in saying that when someone dies in the faith, they are in heaven, so to speak. They are comforted, even though the final judgment hasn't yet occurred, at least as far as we are concerned. But getting back to our theme for the day, we may ask, Pastor, does it really make much of a difference? So what? Christ descended into hell. How does that help me out? Well, we need to remember a few more things before we start putting this all together. First of all, we have to remember that while Jesus was on the cross, before his descent into hell, he said, "It is finished." And at that point, Christ accomplished our salvation. His work was complete. Humanity was destroyed, was restored, and sin, death, and the devil was destroyed. That this Jesus, as he is on the cross, is true man and true God. And that as true man and true God, he descended into Hades. Or if you want to describe it using the words of our creed, hell. There's another passage here connecting from Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Paul writes concerning Christ, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in him." We have to remember that Christ went down and proclaimed that, yes, he was victor. He did defeat sin, death, and the devil. He has won. He has proclaimed that victory. How does this apply for us in our days? Well, not that we're going to be suffering the pains of hell because we are in Christ. We'll be suffering the comfort that God alone brings, at least after this physical life is done. But what about the here and the now? What about today? Especially if our lives we sometimes would describe as a living hell. Well, I'd like to share with you a word from Luther in connection with this. Luther said, "I would rather be in hell with God present than in heaven with God absent." Please catch that very carefully. Luther is saying he'd rather be in hell knowing that, yes, God was with him than be in heaven without any God. What is Luther sort of getting to is that for where God is, there is God's kingdom. There is God's protection. Luther even goes on to say, "For where God is, there is the kingdom of God. Where the Word is, even there paradise and all things are. Therefore, we should give thanks for the Word, because we are already in paradise and under the good pleasure of God, to whom all things are acceptable." So even if we are feeling that our lives are sort of suffering the hell here on earth, we need to remember the cross. Christ's descent into hell, and as he descended, proclaiming himself as victor, and he rose from the dead. You see, we have his word, and his word is life, and his word is his very kingdom. This is who God is. Let me pick up on another verse of scripture that we may be well acquainted with, the 23rd Psalm. We may remember verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David was trying to convey the similar point. Even though we may be feeling the pains and anguishes of a living hell right now, but because of God's word, we are not alone. We are strengthened, nor should we be fearing, but draw upon strength by the one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. Not only so, by the one who even gives his very own body and blood for our strength. Later on in the Psalms, in Psalm 139, verse 8, it says, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Again, that comfort factor, that where God is, there is comfort. Where God is, there is salvation. Where God is, there is joy. There is peace. So in Christ descending to Sheol, on the one side, as the rich man in Lazarus describes, there is peace. And yes, he proclaimed himself victor, even to the side that did not believe and trust in him. When the final judgment comes and the resurrection of the body occurs and those that are unrighteous actually get to the place called hell, then these words of Luther and the psalmist will ring true on the opposite point of view. Then there will be true hell, so to speak, without the protection, the guidance of a loving Savior. They will truly be absent without God. But for the Christian, we don't have to worry about that because God is with us. Even in our daily lives, when things don't seem to be going our way and our lives sort of seem to be a little hellish, we know we have a Savior. And that's why God commanded Christians to gather around His Word, because His Word is life. This is why we hear His Word proclaimed. This is why we come to the Lord's table to receive Him who gives of His very own body and blood. The same body and blood that was offered on the cross of Calvary is offered with us in the bread and the wine for the purposes of strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, we may be walking in the living hell at work or at home, but because we are in Christ, we gather around His Word and give thanks, as David said in our Psalms. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. So this day we give thanks to God for His Word and His sacrament. This is why we gather around both, because it is that word and sacrament that gives us and shows us our life. His supper, His body and blood given and shed. Even though we may suffer a little bit here, but we know that we will not suffer when we are with God in His kingdom. Once we are in that kingdom, there will be true joy, true peace, true paradise. Until that time, we have to keep coming back to His Word to get a little bit of that glimpse of the joy that He alone provides. And when it seems like our lives seem to be really consuming us, and it sort of feels like the heat of hell is really bearing down on us, we come to the One who provides the living water. As Jesus said to the woman at the well, to the One who provides the forgiveness of sins, the One who provides true joy, knowing that, yes, we may suffer for a little while, but knowing that we will be with our Lord and Savior for the rest of eternity. We draw comfort for the fact that we have a Christ who descended into hell, and the depths of death and the grave could not hold Him, because He is the One who has accomplished our salvation. He is the One who has fulfilled the law. He is the One who brings us out of hell so that we can be with Him in heaven above. This is one of the reasons why we maintain this in our creed. It may be a little confusing about what exactly is hell, but the important part is that we have a Savior who is with us every day. No matter what's going on in our lives, we have that Word of God that we draw strength upon. That Word of God that, yes, He has conquered sin, death, and the devil. He descended into hell, and as our creed picks up, rose again. We'll be finishing more about the creed as our Wednesday and our Holy Week services continue. Until that time, we give thanks to God for His Word and His sacrament, showing us His victory. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.